My name is Megan. I am a co-host of the university's Take Note podcast recorded on Kaurna land. As an international student born and raised in Malaysia, I acknowledge that I live, study, and work on the lands of the Kaurna people. I pay my respects to Kaurna elders, past and present.
You know when you're just staring at your laptop, rereading the same lines on your screen, and you just think, yeah, I'm f***ing over it. Well, you've hit burnout. Let's talk about it.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Hello and welcome back to Take Note. It is crazy scary near the end of the year, which is exactly perfect for the topic we're talking about today. It's everyone's best friend, burnout. In case you missed it, this is Take Note, the podcast where we give you the best notes on everything you need to know from the day you start uni to the day you graduate. I'm your host, Olivia, and unfortunately today, Megan is sick, which is very timely once again with burnout. We're all getting burnt out this time of year. We're all feeling sick. We're all drowning in work. So how can we support each other and how can we get out of this rut and the burnout that we're all experiencing? Burnout can really happen to anyone. Talk about juggling work, social life, assignments, exam prep. It's a lot to handle. A lot of us, it might be our first time in university, or we might be an international student that's moved to Adelaide, and it's huge. It's scary. It's crazy. So we can all get burnt out very, very easily. Apologies that you will have to hear a lot of my voice this episode. I've got a couple of fun guests coming on later on, but this beginning part of the episode will be yours truly. So for me, I used to get burnt out all the time. Burnout is so tricky. Like, it's not even that you're doing anything wrong or that you've taken on too much. It literally is just this time of year. The social life starts ramping up as the weather gets warmer. There's more birthdays. People want to do more things on weekends. And then suddenly you're finding it hard to fit in all of your uni work. Not to mention, you probably have a part-time job and exam season's just around the corner. By the time this episode's out, everyone's got their exam timetables and the pressure is definitely building to succeed. But let's take the pressure off and juggle it together. Okay, let's talk about the breaking point and the signs that you are reaching burnout, because sometimes it can be hard to judge. I heard this thing, for anyone that watches The Summer I Turned Pretty, it's exactly like Conrad falling in love. So he says, you know, when you like are lying in bed half asleep and you don't even know that you're awake and then suddenly you're just awake. He's talking about falling in love with Belly. However, burnout is exactly the same. You don't even know that you're burnt out until one moment you're like, shit, I'm definitely burnt out. So let's talk about the signs. Maybe you're constantly reading the same things in your notes and nothing is processing. You're just like reading the same line over and over again and you're like, I don't even understand what they're talking about. And then you start spiraling about not understanding any of the content. Or maybe you're procrastinating. Your room is looking a tiny bit extra sparkly than it normally would. Your screen time on your phone's gone up just that little bit more from the extra doom scrolling. Suddenly you've taken up a baking obsession and you want to bake banana bread, cook these gourmet breakfasts. Or maybe things you used to find fun, like going out with friends or spending a night alone watching your favorite TV shows, start to feel like an obligation and you feel like you're forced to factor in these fun things into your schedule because you're just feeling so burnt out. Is this sounding familiar? We've all been there. Let's take a moment to reflect on ourselves. Think about a time that we were reaching burnout. For me, last week, I was super burnt out. I like did lots of physical activity on the weekend, way more than I normally do. Normally, I'm a bit of a Pilates princess, but over the weekend, I did some extra running and my body just like wasn't prepared for the impact. So then I spent Monday, Tuesday, my knees were aching. And then you're getting less done at work because you're focusing about your tight hips and your knees aching. And then the end of the week rolls around and that tiny little cold starts trickling in. And then you start spiraling because you're behind on all of your work and assignments. And it is scary. It's important to know that you're not alone when you're feeling burnt out. There is ways out of it. And it's just important to just acknowledging the fact that you are burnt out. Now, we're going to talk about something called the drop list. This is one strategy to help you feel a little bit better about the burnout that you may be experiencing. And it's about figuring out your priorities. So for me, I feel like I always talk about this, but it's my thing called the three S's. My mom actually did tell me about this, but I feel like my mom must have invented it because everyone I tell about it has seriously never heard of it before. So the three S's go like this. They stand for social, sleep, and study. Now there's some non-negotiables that sit off to the side of this, which is class, shifts at your hopefully part-time job. I hope none of you are working full-time, and maybe some physical activity. These are things that like you might have scheduled at standard times within your week. Like your classes aren't changing time. Your shifts at work, they might change week to week, but you can't really just like pick them up and drop them at the drop of a hat. You need to, they're normally pretty set in stone. And maybe you've got some times that you usually like to go to the gym. It might be before your afternoon class on a Wednesday. Personally, I go to my Pilates classes in the afternoons and they're pretty like set in stone for me. So we put those things that are non-negotiables into our calendar, and then we're left with these three S's: social, sleep, and study. Now, we can't give all of our time and energy to all three at once. You only have, I like to talk about it as two lots of 50%. So say on Monday, I have a dinner with my friends. So I've spent 3 hours getting dinner with my friends and I needed to study throughout the day. I've spent my whole day studying and then I've gone out to this long dinner and suddenly I'm going to bed at 10:30 or 11, which some of you might think that's early, but that is definitely too late if we want to get our 8 hours sleep, because then by the time we wake up at 7 to do uni the next day, we haven't really gotten our full 8 or 9 hours that we need to properly thrive while we're juggling everything in our lives. Or say you have no social activities on and you've spent your whole day studying and then you sleep, but then your body doesn't really have that enjoyment and fun factor because you haven't spent any time socializing. So it's important just to look at your week and think about the things that you are going to prioritize and finding that balance between what I like to call the three S's. And let's circle back to the drop list. I kind of name dropped it back there and I didn't really expand on it. So it's important to figure out exactly what your priorities are and how you can spend your energy where you like it, which is kind of similar to the three S's, but we're going to talk about this in the context of last week's episode. We're talking about taking notice with Take Note, where we had an amazing honors psychology student, Hattie, on, where she was talking about the circle of control. The circle of control is all these rings. There's things that are in the middle that you can control, and then there's things that are outside of the ring that you can't control. So you need to just look at your little circle, your little bubble of things that you can control, and think about what you can be doing to control them and not get stressed out about the things that you can't control. Things like your assignment due date, you cannot control that, but you can control the work that you spend on it and the assignment that you submit. So you just need to look at things like that. If I'm thinking about in my personal life things that I can't control, there is a million things that come to mind. Let's think like your friend's birthday. Say you wake up one day and you're feeling so drained. You don't want to go on your phone, but it's literally like one of your closest friend's birthdays. Like you can't control that it's her birthday that day, but I guarantee you're going to feel even worse if you haven't messaged her and the days go by. So jump on there and wish her a happy birthday. Another example can be like what I was talking about with the three S's. Oh, shift at work. It's non-negotiable. So it's out of your control, but how you work when you're at work is in your control. And if you're feeling productive at work, hopefully that productivity will carry through. And when you come home from work, maybe you can smash out a couple of hours of study. Let's all take another moment to reflect. We might have a couple of these throughout the episode as I'm figuring out how to do it by myself, but let's take a moment to reflect on what we can control and what we can't. Hopefully, now that we've taken a minute to think about some signs that we might be being burnt out and a time that we were burnt out and some things that are in our control, hopefully burnout is starting to feel a bit more real and a bit more like everyone goes through it, because they absolutely do. Okay, we're now going to talk about how to recharge without guilt or productive rest. You know what I'm talking about. When you have rest, that's like procrastination rest. You've gotten a doom scroll because you're procrastinating and you like can't bear to do the work, but then you don't even feel rested because you were only doom scrolling because you didn't want to work and you didn't really properly enjoy your time doom scrolling or your time watching your show or your time eating. You were just doing it because you were avoiding doing something else. That might be the case for some of us, but a lot of people also think that rest equals wasted time, but it absolutely is not. Even when you think you've understood that it's important to rest, it's hard because all your mind thinks about while you're resting is all of the study that you could be doing instead, which is definitely not a helpful thing to be doing. It's important to factor in time into your schedule where you really are just going to rest, whether it be factoring in a full 8 or 9 hours sleep every night, which even if you feel like you can survive off no sleep, I am very, very guilty of that. I literally think I can just wake up in the morning off of my 6.5 hour sleep and get going, no coffee, just roll on into it. I'm sure that there's some of you that are like me, but I've come to realize that maybe I do need a little more sleep than I'm factoring into my schedule. So it's important just to factor that time in and to really make sure that you are getting the rest that your body needs. Okay, I just want to talk a second about the purpose of this episode. Obviously, I am not an expert. I have been a student. I know what it's like. I've been burnt out. I've been juggling way too many things. As I've said a million times, I literally worked 40 hours a week in my first year of uni, and uni definitely was the one on the back burner. So I have been there, but I am definitely not a professional. So if your burnout starts feeling like not just burnout, like it's hanging around for that bit longer than you would like it to, and you are just running on no bars, please reach out to our counselling support team or student care, or head to our student health and wellbeing website and you can find resources for support. And if talking about burnout has raised anything for you, then don't hesitate to contact Lifeline at 13 11 14 or 1800 RESPECT, which is 1800 737 732. You have reached the burnout buzz line. How can I help you today?
Hello there. I'm Hari and I've been through burnout, and like it's a crazy thing. It's something that's very under talked about, and I think people should talk more about it.
100%. I feel like everyone has been through burnout, yet no one's willing to admit like, yeah, I'm feeling burnt out today. It's just like, keep going, stay locked in, keep working.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with that. Like, you always want to be in the zone. You want to get things done. And like, when you're in the flow, like, you just want to keep doing and doing and doing.
Yeah.
And like, when you're into that, like, it becomes so hard to realize that you're actually going through burnout.
Yeah, I was saying just before that, like, burnout is like, you don't even realize that you're getting burnt out until one moment you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so burnt out.
Like, yeah, I can totally relate with that. Like, you know, when you just join uni, like, you want to do everything you can.
Yeah.
Like, you want to join all possible avenues, and like, you want to do everything as much as you can.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't work out always that way. That's the key reasons burnout happens.
Yeah. Or like, you've got a class on at the same time as something else, and then you miss something, and then you get all stressed about missing something, and then it can be so stressful.
Yes, it totally can be. Like, you know, juggling 100 things at once is not an easy thing to do. I started off joining a community. It's called the Masters in Technology Student Association.
So you're part of a club?
I am, yeah. So I joined as an events officer, like when the club just joined, like started just a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I joined as an officer of events, and like things started going from there. And like, yeah, started off with just helping out like in hosting events and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I eventually moved up positions and I entered the director of events. So yeah, I started becoming the person who manages all the events.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun doing that. But then it gets really hectic as well.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like being in a club is something I like hadn't even considered that would like be another thing to add on the plate. I was listing things just before and I was like, you'll be juggling classes, part-time work, a social life, sleep. But being in a club, I feel like, is really an extra layer of being burnt out. And especially when it's something you're so passionate about, like you joined the club when it first began and then like you're getting promoted, so you feel like you're getting good recognition for what you're doing, but then suddenly you're like, oh my gosh, I've taken on too much. And it's really difficult to find the thing that needs to go.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. Like, coming to sports, like I joined the uni-wide soccer club as well.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, yeah.
You are overloaded.
Yes, I am. Yeah, so I go for runs. I play soccer during the weekends. I go for training. And I'm also like managing the student club. And on top of all of this, like I'm managing my master's degree as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, given that your club is a master's association, you are like studying a master's degree, which I feel like is so tricky because there's so much pressure on master's students to be working an important job while studying.
Exactly.
I'm looking at doing my master's in a couple of years and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to work full time and study, and like my friends won't be studying, so I'm going to still want to see my friends at the same time.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing. Like, you know, doing your master's, it's mostly self-taught. Like, you got to do it, you got to learn a lot by yourself. And it's not just that, of course, you go to lectures and workshops and whatnot. Everything is fun. Like, it's good to learn. But then at the same time, like doing a lot of things at the same time can really lead to burnout.
Yeah, definitely. Is there anything like, how have you managed to deal with your burnout, or are you still struggling with it?
I just managed to get out of it, to be honest. Like, I stepped down. I reached the top position of vice president. I took a very hard decision to step down. It's because I realized that I was going through burnout.
Yeah.
Like, you should pay attention to the early signs, which are especially like, you know, when you're doing too much and like you can't handle the pressure.
And then when little things feel like pressure as well, like something that normally wouldn't stress you out, you're like getting all stressed about.
Exactly. When you're not enjoying the things that you love to do so much, so long, that's when you realize you're actually going through burnout.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And how did you realize what was the thing that needed to go? So obviously you stepped down as vice president, which would have been a huge decision. And how did you choose to do that instead of like drop soccer or study part-time or anything like that?
To be honest, it was a very hard decision. It's something that I had to weigh through the pros and cons a lot.
Yeah.
It's not something you can just decide like overnight and be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to step down, because it's a big thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't know, like, I guess it's one of those things that you just can never regret, because you don't want to look back and be like, oh my gosh, I should have done that instead. It's like you have no way of knowing that what you should step down from.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. I didn't want to step down from soccer because like I felt that soccer was something that's really helpful in life, because it's physical activity. And like I've been passionate about soccer from the start. And then I can't give up on my studies. Of course not.
Mm.
So then I had to make the tough call of like, okay, like maybe stepping down is the right choice.
Yeah.
I didn't step down completely though. I'm still a director of memberships.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I'm still a part of the club and I'm still part of managing some stuff, but like I didn't completely step down.
I feel like that is such a smart move, not just from yourself, but for anyone listening. It's like, is there a way that you can just do less of the thing that's stressing you out? Like it would be so much harder to go from vice president to nothing than to go from vice president to director of memberships, because you're still involved, you're still a part of it.
Exactly.
But you haven't just like completely given up on what you're doing.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. So like I found the three stages of burnout. The first one was exhaustion. I was doing a lot of things every day. I was getting lack of sleep.
Mm.
And I also, the main thing I realized was I was losing weight.
Oh my gosh.
I lost control of my diet. I was eating outside every day. And like it reached a point where I was just eating outside every day, not having control over my diet, and not having enough time to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I got injured in the middle of the season. And like that made me have more time. I was like, okay, I'm injured now. Maybe I can have more time to like dedicate to other stuff. But then the thing about that is like I had to dedicate time to the gym as well, because I had to recover from my injury.
Yeah.
And like, you
and
know,
sometimes recovery is even harder than
exactly. So like I was forced to go to gym. It's not because I wanted to go to gym. I was forced to go because I needed to recover. It made me like go into a loop. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Am I doing it right?
I'm so intrigued by your three stages of burnout. Like I hadn't even considered that there might be like stages with everything. It's so important to realize that at an early stage, instead of letting yourself get to the point that you are just like so completely burnt out. I'm loving stage one, exhaustion. What is stage two of your three stages?
Stage two is cynicism and detachment. So, yeah, you know, you lose enjoyment and passion about the things that you were really passionate about when you started initially. So, like, you know, it becomes so hectic that it starts to affect your personal life. It takes away your work-life balance completely. Mm. Like, you don't know what's your personal life anymore and you don't know what's your work life anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it takes you to a point where you're so irritable. You'll be like, oh my God, like, I have this task to do. I have that task to do. But, like, it's so hard to do it.
Yeah. I find that sometimes when I was burnt out, like, my mum would be like, can you unpack the dishwasher? And I'm like, don't you understand? I have a million things to do. And it's like, come on, Olivia, you can spend 5 minutes unpacking the dishwasher. Like,
exactly. Like, it's the small things that get to you, which are, like, very difficult to, like, do every day. And, like, these are the small things that cause burnout. Like, work felt like a burden to me. I became critical of the process and I felt disconnected from the positive impact that we were trying to make as the club.
Yeah.
It felt like another task was on an endless to-do task list. You know, it is just a task, task after task.
Yeah. And then, like, things that shouldn't be on the to-do list end up on the to-do list. Like, clean room.
Yeah, exactly. And then the third stage was lack of accomplishment.
Mm.
So, like, you feel like you're doing a lot of things, but then you feel like you're not accomplishing anything at all.
I was talking about this earlier when it's like you're still doing things, but like nothing is like you're not getting the full benefit out of it because you're not rested and you're...
Yeah, like nothing becomes meaningful anymore.
Yeah.
Like it becomes really hectic.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love the three stages of burnout. Is there anything else that you feel like you want to talk about on your experience with burnout?
Yeah, first of all, stepping down as vice president. Like, of course, it could be to some people thinking about like it could be a point of failure. Like you might be thinking, okay, like I can't do this anymore. Like, am I failing at this? But then you should not think of it in that way. You should think about the bigger life.
Yeah.
The bigger aspects in life, especially. I couldn't sustain the pace. I realized my future life was more important.
Mm.
Like, I want to dedicate more time towards my final year research project.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we have to do research at the end of every year. And like, last two trimesters are dedicated to research, which are things that I want to give more time to.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I have to also look for a job. And like, there are more things.
And
that,
looking for a job is like such a big stress.
Exactly.
As well.
So like, you know, when I thought about it, I'm like, okay, like there are more important things to do going ahead, which is my final year project, my research work, my job search. And like, yeah, I just felt like stepping down should not be seen as a sign of failure or letting the team down. It was a very difficult decision. And I had to just reprioritize my life. I had to strategize a way that I can, like, you know, my final year research is more important to me.
Mm.
And like, it's more important that I focus on finding a job.
Yeah.
And things like that. Like, it's okay to reprioritize sometime.
I feel like that's kind of like the hindsight piece, that like you'll look back and you'll go, I'm not going to regret stepping down, and I'm going to look back and be so happy that I found a good job and I spent time doing this and doing that, instead of being like, oh my gosh, I just felt so burnt out the whole time and I don't even remember it and I didn't really achieve anything.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that. So like, I can give you some strategies for prevention and recovery as well.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah, so first thing is to recognize the early stages of burnout. You should see how you're handling daily tasks. Are you feeling irritable? Like, are small things getting to you?
Yeah,
like that's one thing. And then, are you procrastinating on things that you really enjoy doing? Like,
exactly.
You know, sometimes you start to procrastinate when you're doing things that you enjoy. And you're like, oh my God, like, is this really happening? Like, am I really doing that?
It's like when you go for a doom scroll. I was saying this before, suddenly you have a baking addiction. You want to wake up in the morning and bake banana bread. It's like, why are you doing that? You obviously just don't want to do what you have to do.
Yeah, things that you really enjoy. And like, now you're starting to dread about that. I'm like, oh my God, I have to do this today. This morning, I got to cook breakfast. Like, what's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, small things like that. And then constant fatigue. Like, that's something that's really important. Like, if you're feeling really fatigued every day, like, despite sleeping, getting good sleep over the night, and then, like, next morning waking up and being so tired and exhausted, and you're like, oh my God, I have to do this. Those are early signs of burnout. Those are signs that you shouldn't ignore, and those are the things that you should take seriously. You should be like, okay, this is not all right. I'm actually going through burnout.
Yeah.
And, like, I should think about ways to recover from this. And I can give you ways to recover that from burnout as well.
Yeah.
First thing is to audit your commitments. Maybe you're doing too much.
Which is what you did.
Exactly. Yeah, like maybe you're taking on too many things that you shouldn't be doing so much about. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And the power of saying no, sometimes. 100%.
I am so bad at saying no. I always tell everyone, I'm such a yes person. I can do everything, but maybe you can't.
Yeah, exactly. You should be able to say no in powerful situations when, like, you should take the power and be like, okay, maybe I should say no to this. Maybe, okay, my friend's calling me tomorrow for, like, a weekend plan.
Yeah.
But then I have so many other assignments pending. Maybe that's more important.
Yeah,
like, that time,
exactly.
you got to step up and be like, okay, no, I'm sorry, I can't do it. And scheduling. Scheduling is the most important thing. Have a calendar planned out. Like, time management is something that's very important. Having good time management is the most important thing. Planning even downtime is very important.
Yeah.
You got to plan, like, okay, like, tomorrow I have 5 hours to study and I should spend 2 hours at least, like, doing things that I enjoy, which are not studying. And, like, of course, like, extracurriculars.
Yeah, like soccer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then redefine success. Maybe you're aiming too high. Maybe you got to lower the bar down.
Yeah.
Like, something that my mom has always told me is, like, you should aim high, but, like, you should take small steps towards success.
I feel like just celebrating the small things. Like,
exactly.
Even if you are aiming high, it's like, celebrate that you submitted that assignment.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have the grade back and you might have done badly, but just celebrate the fact that you accomplished it, you got it done, and you spent the time doing it.
Exactly. And then utilize the necessary resources that you need. Like, for example, university has a lot of good resources.
So you can just be afraid to reach out, because, like we've said, everyone is going through it and it's
exactly.
not just on you.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for calling the Burnout Buzzline, Hari. I have absolutely loved talking to you, and I'm sure that your story will help a lot of other people that are going through burnout hopefully make it out the other side.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me today. And, like, of course, I hope that someone hearing my story out today would be like, okay, like, maybe I'm going through burnout, or maybe these are the signs of burnout, or just being generally aware about burnout. Like, okay, like, these are the signs. If I ever go through it, then I can recognize it and then I can deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much again.
You have reached the Burnout Buzzline. How can I help you today?
Hi, my name is Sophia and I'm a student. I'm studying a Bachelor of Law with a Bachelor of Marketing as well. And
what else do you have on your plate?
I've got a few things on my plate. So obviously I'm a full-time student, but I also work 3 days a week at the uni actually. So
oh my gosh.
I'm here a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. And I guess burnout is a really common experience for all students. We're trying to juggle so much at the same time.
I was saying before, like, you can seriously just have, like, so many things on your plate, and this time of year especially, like, exams are literally creeping around the corner.
Yes, can see them already.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, when I was thinking about times that I have felt burnt out, I was, like, kind of struggling with it because I thought there's not, like, one period, but when I was thinking about it, I definitely noticed a pattern where, like, every exam period, I feel, like, looking back on it, I was thinking retrospectively, it's so obvious to me that around every exam period, I just get so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And in getting overwhelmed, I feel like I put my work on the back burner because it's stressing me out.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I was going to say the opposite. I was going to say like it's when you stop going for a walk or like start declining going out for a coffee and just making one at home. But you're almost doing the opposite.
I'm almost doing the opposite. But I feel like that will come first. Mm. I'll start to be like throwing myself into work, throwing myself into exams, doing all of this studying. And then it'll get to the point where I'm like, this is stressing me out so much that I almost feel like I need to completely ignore it. But then I get more stressed out and it's such a cycle. And I was looking at it and thinking, I need to get in touch with this and do something about it because it happens every single time. And I feel like at this point, being able to recognize it's so important.
Yeah. And I feel like it's like so, such a double-edged sword because like
Absolutely.
The university obviously like lights up around exam period. Like we have stress list in the hub, PASS runs all of the exam buster courses. Everyone's like, here's the resources. We want to help you. But then you're just like being blasted from every direction. Exams.
Absolutely.
Exams. You don't have dinner with your friends because they also have exams.
Yes. Everyone's in the same boat.
Yeah.
And the stress. And I feel like when everyone is in the same boat, that you can feel the emotions from your friends. You can feel it at the uni. Like everyone's in that situation, which is kind of, again, a double-edged sword because you know you've got that support system of people experiencing the same thing.
I used to get like kind of stressed out when I would be like not stressed about something.
Yes.
And my friends would rock up to uni to study with me and they would be like freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I mustn't have studied enough.
Yes.
I'm behind. What have I missed that's stressing them out? And then I end up getting burnt out because I've like stressed myself out about nothing.
I feel like it's honestly such an emotional thing. Like sometimes the work that you have to do isn't as bad as the emotion that you feel doing it. And that can be so overwhelming in itself.
I was talking about earlier in the episode, this thing called the three S's. Have you heard of it?
I actually haven't.
I'm going to have to explain it twice in the episode, but that's fine. So it's like you break down your life into these three things, which is sleep, social, and study.
I love
and
that.
Then you have your non-negotiables that sit on the side, which is gym, class, and part-time work. The things on the side, like they don't move. Like you go to the gym at the same times every week. You work at the same times every week.
Yep.
Your classes, like they're not changing. But then it's like, how can you balance your three S's, which is sleep, study, and social amongst the rest of the week?
That is such a good framework, I feel. Because it means it also not like negotiating gym and things like that, that you like kind of have to do to support your physical well-being, mental well-being, all of that.
But then like you end up being like, oh my gosh, I want to see my friends. I need to study. And then you get no sleeps. And the next day, the study that you're doing, is it a lower quality? And then like...
Absolutely. And I was thinking about this as well. And I was like, when I do end up studying, if I do study, I can get to the point where I'll like block out 3 hours for myself, but I find it so hard to stay within that 3 hours. So I'll be like, okay, so 9 to 12, I'll be doing study and I'll get a coffee. But I like without a doubt, inevitably go over that 3 hours.
Mm.
And I feel like that's also really important to set those kind of boundaries for yourself and say, no, actually after 3 hours, I am going to stop and take a break because otherwise I feel like the study that you're doing is a lesser quality.
100%.
Than what you'd be doing if you took that break, got a coffee, took a walk, refocused and came back. And that's something I struggle with so much.
Yeah. I feel like you were saying like you're always burnt out around exam period.
Yes.
But how have you found that obviously such a difference between, we're talking about the summer exam period right now and like end of the year is pending and you can like feel the sun on your back as you're like getting close to doing these exams. How do you find burnout when it's like going into winter and it, like some of the seasonal depression kind of ties in and things like that?
Oh, I think it's such a real experience that I feel like not many people are probably aware of, me, like me included.
Yeah.
I think that it probably does affect my mental space so much more than I think it does. When it's cold and dark outside, your motivation and like your ability to channel your energy in different ways. So for example, I'm such a walker. I'll go for a walk every single morning. And in winter, it's so hard to do that because it's like raining, it's freezing. It's really hard to do the kind of healthy coping mechanisms that you have.
Yeah.
So then when you are studying, you're just cooped up inside at the uni all the time, indoors all the time. I think it has a huge impact.
Yeah, 100%. And as you were talking about that, there's kind of something else that I want to acknowledge, which is it's so easy to say that the things on your plate are like the tangible things, which is like studying, social life, part-time work, things like that, exams, but also like things like anxiety and mental health can be something on your plate that it's so easy not to acknowledge. And you can just tie burnout in with that. Oh, I'm burnt out, whatever.
Definitely.
But like, say, I'm not sure if this applies to you, but say you're anxious about doing an exam and then you're thinking about like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to sit in this huge hall with all of these
100%.
People, have to find my seat number, without even realizing your subconscious anxiety is like contributing to your burnout. burnout because it's taking up space in your head.
Definitely. And I feel like lived experience for me is I hate a test where there's like not a final product. So exams are hard for me. It's the non-open book exams because I feel like in my head, no matter how much I study for them, there's always more I could do because there's more I can retain. And I think I get such high anxiety around that. I think it probably messes with my ability to retain the information.
Yeah, like there's no completion.
Exactly. There's no completion. So I'm stressed about the fact that I could always be doing more. And I think that anxiety, I probably don't acknowledge it, but it definitely would take up some space in my mind that could fit information in it.
Yeah. That's so interesting that you say that because once again, I'm the complete opposite.
Yes.
So I much rather attest an exam because there's a date set to completion.
Yeah.
Whereas my assignments, I'm like, oh my gosh, like even though there's a date for completion, it's like I could do it 2 weeks ago. Like
yes.
I can hustle it the day of.
Yes.
Like, yes, the product will be finished at some point, mm-hmm. but like there's no like timeline that I'm on. Whereas an exam, it's like I will be in that room at 1:30 on the Wednesday. Like
You know. And see, I actually love that we're different in this way because I feel like having people around you who you can talk to about this stuff. So for example, like with an assignment, I love to see it come together and know that in the moment, that's how much I've done. I know how much else I have to do.
Format, the word doc,
the headings are pretty. But then talking to you, it's like, you give me a different perspective on the fact that I know when my exam is. I know that I'll be sitting it then. And getting those different perspectives, I feel, is so important. So you're not just in your head.
Yeah, 100%. And I hope that everyone listening, I'm sure that everyone has anxiety about one form of assessment. Megan and I spoke about this in one of the earliest episodes that like we all have a preference towards different types of assessments.
Yes.
But I hope that everyone listening relates to one of the types of assessments.
Definitely.
And it's like good to know that other people don't find it stressful the way that you do.
Yes.
And like it's so hard to reshift your vision and how you view things when you don't know what the other viewpoint could be.
100%.
But talking to people, and I encourage everyone listening to go home and talk to their friends about how they view things. Like it's so easy for me to be like, work's so stressful, but then I talk to you and you're like, what do you mean? Like work doesn't have to be stressful. Like find the enjoyment in it.
And I think especially when you're in your own head and all you're hearing is your own voice, you're kind of reinforcing all the ideas you already have. Whereas even just in that moment where you're like, oh no, but when you know that the exam day, you can plan towards that, like instantly shifted my perspective. And I feel like conversations like that, especially around exam time, is so important.
I'm kind of sad that I, for those of you that don't know, I did finish studying last year. I'm kind of sad that I never viewed assignments the way that you do. Like,
yes.
I would always do all of the things that I found fun about assignments first. Like, I would format my Word document, Canva. It would look all pretty, and then I would just have these headings with like blank sections underneath them. It's like, Olivia, you have to sit there and like smash out that typing.
Exactly. And I think different personalities as well can find different parts of those, like aspects of those, easier and harder. So if you lean, like if you lent on me and I could be like, look, like you just have to get this done by today. You can see it coming together. And then I would lean on you around exam time when you're like, so if it's okay, like you've retained so much more information than you think. You know that you're going to have to put it all on the paper on this day. That kind of conversation is so beneficial, I think. And it's something we
100%.
I don't think when you're with your friends at uni, you're obviously trying to kind of use them as a distraction from your work. So you might not necessarily have those conversations where you're discussing that, but I think it's probably important to bring it to light.
Yeah. I think another important thing to note is that when we're talking about burnout, that's exam related burnout, other people get burnt out like random times of the year, but I'm sure that there are so many people like you that is that like true exam related burnout
100%.
Where like the end in sight just like doesn't even feel there.
Yeah.
I would always plan like some big, not party, but like something that I could do within like a day of finishing my last exam.
100%. Like, I think that's actually really important. Having to think about this, I was definitely identifying behaviors in me that I wanted solutions for.
Yeah.
Because when you actually sit back and reflect on it, like it's a good opportunity to sit back and be like, how do I handle these situations? What can I do to fix this or like make myself feel better around these times? And I think definitely that like having something to look forward to after exams is huge because you know that there is light at the end of the tunnel and it's not just this impending scary date.
And knowing that it's okay to, I guess, I don't know how to word it, like knowing that it's okay to spend time reflecting on previous periods because if you can reflect back and go, oh my God, I don't want to do that again.
Yes.
That's productive time.
Oh, exactly. I know for myself always, doing law, they always have an exam. Like you're very likely to have an exam. And then in marketing as well, those data ones, you know that you're going to have more than one exam. And I think when you do have like, I've had 4 exams before and that was obviously for my personality so difficult.
Yeah.
But I definitely had to think about the fact that having that activity at the end of the exam period's so good, but also making sure that after that first exam, when you know you've got 3 more left, taking a break. I'm so bad at this. I will go home, get right back into studying for the next.
I'm like, oh my God, 2 days.
Yeah, like, I'm like, right, let's hustle, like, let's go. And I think that that in itself is probably, like, you need to give your mental, you, like, an exam's a big thing. It's an emotional deal. It's like you've dumped all your information onto one place. Like, your brain is tired. I think for me, something I'm going to try and do this exam period is just after I've done one exam, taking myself for a walk, like going to get a coffee, like going out for dinner, taking a minute to just decompress and then start again.
Yeah. And I feel like I mentioned this earlier in the episode. What you're kind of touching on is the circle of control. Like, having four exams is out of your control. So it's like, no need to stress about like, oh my God, I've got four exams. Like, how can I change it? It's like, you have four exams. Just like accept it and move on and think about the things you can control, which is how much you study for the exams, how much pressure you put on yourself for the exams.
I love that.
At the end of the day, a GPA is important, but it's not going to like...
No, exactly.
It's not the be-all and end-all.
No, your mental health is so important. And like, obviously, there are going to be things that impact it that you can't control, but you can protect it in a sense. And I think that's really big for me because I'm such a control freak.
Yeah.
I want to be able to control how many exams I have. I want to be able to control every aspect. And I think that concept is so good for just letting go and being like, I know that I can control my mental health and look after it and try to make sure that I'm in like a protected space, because you ultimately know yourself best.
Yeah.
By all means, like, if you can just push through, get it all done and that works for you and you like to be focused, then I think acknowledging that as well is really good.
Yeah.
But I've definitely noticed in terms of burnout that the times I burn out is when I don't prioritize my mental health and I just become obsessed with like studying and getting my everything done, or I get obsessed with work and I hyperfixate on one thing or the other, and that's when I get burnt out, when I'm not being holistic, I think.
Yeah, and then neither of them will be that satisfying, because even though you've focused on all your study, you're like, oh my God, but like, I missed that shift at work and now I've got no money and now I've got this.
Literally. So. And I think being so self-aware is really tricky, because obviously you're just going through life. Like, you might not even, a lot of the time I don't even notice I'm stressed, I think.
Yeah.
I'll just be going and being like, oh my God, there's a lot going on right now. But I think taking a step back, especially when you know you're going into a period that's stressful. Mm. Like, I think everyone, when you are going into exam period, you know that it's going to be higher stress levels than before. So taking a moment before that all hits to step back and be like self-aware and think, what can I implement in the next few weeks?
Yeah.
And then stick to it, because I'm really bad at that.
I'm so bad at sticking to that as well. But...
I've definitely thought about this before and then done nothing about it. But I think this time I will.
Well, thank you so much for calling into the Burnout Buzz line, Sophia.
Thanks
we
for
have
having me.
I've loved talking to you today.
Love talking to you as well. I'll be calling up again.
Yes. And I hope that everyone listening has managed to get something from not only Sophia's story, but Hari's as well. Like I said, definitely do not hesitate to reach out for any support, and don't hesitate to ask your friends if they're feeling burnt out. It was just Are You OK Day, but this is your regular reminder to ask everyone, not just Are You OK on Are You OK Day, but to ask Are You OK any day. We're just here today to validate how common burnout is. You are not broken. You are human. Every single person has been burnt out at some point in their life. Every person's woken up one day and gone, oh my God, I just want to go straight back to bed. I cannot bear to face the day today. Unfortunately, that is all we have time for in today's episode of Take Note. Hopefully you all loved listening to my voice. As I'm sure you can hear a little bit in my voice, I was sick last week, but I'm still here today. I'm pushing through, even though I might be slightly burnt out, because we will make it through and we're all in this together. I really hope you enjoyed today. Please follow us on Spotify so that other students can find us too, and we can all share this big burnout load together. You can also head over to our Instagram, where you can follow us at uaa.oncampus. Shameless plug, as always. Feel free to DM me with any thoughts on the show. I always love hearing what you guys have to say. And hopefully Megan will be back next week. By the time we're all back together, I hope that you are all feeling a little bit better about your burnout and that the light at the end of the tunnel is becoming way more obvious. See you next fortnight.
Take note. This is a UOA on campus production.